Welcome to the Countdown to Canada podcast by Arrive, a podcast for newcomers by newcomers. We give you the information, resources, and tips you need to build a successful life here. Whether you're exploring your immigration options, looking for your first job, starting your studies as an international student, or adapting to life in Canada, this podcast will set you up for a smooth journey. Now let's get you home. I'm your host, Clem Levauvallier, and with me today is my co-host, Film Vachiruvatanen. Film, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Clem. I'm really excited about recording the podcast today with you. When you told me you were doing an episode about studying in Canada, I was super eager to share my experience. As you know, I moved to Canada from Thailand in 2008 when I was still in high school. So I spent 6 years in Canada as an international student.
Well, I'm glad that we have you here to share your experience today with others who are thinking about studying in Canada. And there are a lot of prospective international students out there. In fact, did you know that between January and November 2022, there were over 670,000 study permits issued by the Government of Canada?
That's a lot.
Yes. And in the same year, the government's target was to welcome 431,000 new permanent residents. And what that means is that more newcomers came to Canada as international students than as permanent residents. Why do you think that is? What is it that makes Canada such a popular study destination?
Well, from experience, I know that international students tend to consider many things before deciding which country to study in. The first, obviously, is the quality of education a country offers. And Canada is home to some of the best universities and colleges in the world. Budget is a key factor as well. And compared to schools in the US, UK, or Australia, Canadian universities and colleges typically have lower international student tuition fees. Plus, the cost of living in Canada is lower in comparison. Many international students also think about opportunities that will be available after finishing their studies, and Canada offers the opportunity to stay and settle here after you graduate. For me, this was very important. After graduation, I was able to get a post-graduation work permit and find a job. A few years later, I qualified for permanent residence, and now I'm officially a Canadian citizen.
Congratulations! You've touched on some really great points here. You mentioned that budget's an important factor, so let's start with that. How much does it cost to study in Canada as an international student?
So tuition fees will likely be your biggest expense during your Canadian studies, since international student tuition is much higher than what domestic students pay. But there's no one-size-fits-all answer to how much it will cost. How much you will pay will vary, depending on your study program and whether you enroll in a university or college. Remember, in Canada, universities and colleges are different. Universities typically offer academic programs that lead to a degree, while colleges offer technical or job-oriented programs that usually lead to a diploma or certificate. University programs tend to be longer and more expensive than college programs. On average, international students can expect to pay anywhere between $12,000 to $20,000 per year for college tuition and between $20,000 to $85,000 per year for university tuition. In addition to tuition, you will also need to get a study permit to be allowed to come to Canada to start your studies. The cost of school application and study permit can be around $1,000. And if you're using the services of an educational consultant, you will need to factor in whatever their fee is too.
And does that cover everything?
No, because you also need to cover your living expenses. That will include accommodation, food, health insurance, phone and internet bills, transportation, and entertainment. And it can easily cost between $800 to $1,800 per month, depending on the city you're in. Now remember, the cost of living in Canada can be quite different to what it is in many of the countries that international students come from, so it's important to plan for this. Actually, Arrive has an easy-to-use cost of studying calculator that can help you estimate how much your education and living expenses will cost, and you can find a link to that in the episode description.
Thanks, Phil. These numbers can really add up, and it's important to know that as part of your study permit application, you'll need to show that you have enough funds to cover for your cost of living. So if you're listening to us today and you're planning to study in Canada, make sure that you have a financial plan for your studies in Canada. Lots of students, both Canadian and international, are able to cover the cost of their studies in part or entirely with their family savings. However, there are other options out there to fund your education.
That's right, Clem. You can get a student loan or a line of credit from a financial institution in your home country. If you have a good academic record, you might even be able to get a full or partial scholarship. Plus, some schools offer bursaries to international students based on financial need. And you might have the option of working part-time while studying to cover some of your education and living expenses.
That's really helpful to know. But I'd just like to go back to something you mentioned earlier, study permits. Film, do you want to tell our audience what a study permit is?
Absolutely. So a study permit is a temporary residence permit that allows international students to come to Canada to study. Unless you're a Canadian citizen or permanent resident, you must have a study permit to enroll in a Canadian study program that's longer than 6 months. Usually, your study permit will be valid for the length of the study program plus 90 days, and before it expires, you must either leave Canada, apply for an extension, or apply for a work permit.
Okay, so a study permit gives you a legal status in Canada during your studies. So tell us, how do you apply for a study permit?
That's a great question. First things first, you can only apply for a study permit after you've been accepted into a Canadian university or college, more specifically into a designated learning institution, or DLI, which is an institution that's allowed to admit international students. The Canadian government website has a list of DLIs, so if you're getting ready to apply for admission to universities or colleges in Canada, make sure your target schools are on that list. Once you get admission into a Canadian post-secondary institution, the school will send you a letter of acceptance.
Hooray! Congrats!
Yes! And as soon as you receive that document, you are ready to apply for your study permit. You will need to create an account on the IRCC website and fill out your study permit application online. You will then be asked to upload a few documents, including your letter of acceptance, proof of financial support, your passport, and any additional materials, such as a statement of purpose, that might help the visa officer make a decision on your application. Finally, before you hit submit, you will have to pay the biometrics and application processing fee.
Okay, so how long does it take to get a study permit?
Usually, it takes around 9 weeks to get your study permit processed. But this can vary depending on the number of applications that are being processed and the ease with which IRCC can verify your information. I also want to call out that students from 14 countries, including India, China, Philippines, Pakistan, Colombia, and Brazil, are eligible for faster study permit processing under the Student Direct Stream, through which you can get your study permit in 20 days.
I should add here that it can take time to get some of the documents you'll need for your study permit application, especially language test results or proof of financial support. So don't wait until the last minute to get those. Proof of financial support documents show the visa officer that you have enough funds to pay for your studies and living expenses in Canada. And these can include bank statements showing sufficient savings, scholarship or loan documents, proof that you've paid the first year's tuition and housing fees, or a guaranteed investment certificate, or GIC, of at least $10,000 from an authorized financial institution.
Clem, we get a lot of questions about GICs and why they are required. I think one common confusion many international students have is whether they need to pay this money to the Canadian government or a school. Do you want to explain how a GIC works?
Yeah, for sure. A guaranteed investment certificate, or a GIC, is an investment product offered by banks and other financial institutions in Canada. And for international students specifically, it can serve as your proof of financial support. When you purchase a student GIC, you're essentially investing $10,000 and your money will earn interest and you will get payments out of that sum every month until by the end of the 12 months, all the initial $10,000 plus interest has been returned to you. And that's to cover your cost of living. And the best part is that the GICs are risk-free, and both your principal investment and the interest are guaranteed. So you're not giving this money to the government or your school. Instead, you're actually receiving it back with interest in monthly installments.
And do all international students need to purchase a GIC?
Well, if you're applying for a study permit through the Student Direct Stream, then you're required to have a GIC worth $10,000 or $11,000 if you're studying in Quebec. But if you're applying through the General Stream, then a GIC is just one of the options you'll have to show that proof of funds. But it makes sense to get a GIC regardless, since it'll be earning interest on your money. If you want to purchase a GIC or speak to an RBC advisor regarding one, you can find the link to do that in the episode description.
Okay, so once you have your GIC and other paperwork sorted, realistically, what are your chances of getting your study permit approved?
Well, in order for your study permit to get accepted, you need the visa officer to be convinced that you're genuinely coming to Canada to study and that you'll be able to support yourself and any family members coming with you during your studies. So that's a great point there. Let's talk about the common reasons why some study permit applications get rejected so that our listeners can avoid those mistakes. The number one and easiest to avoid is applying to university or college that's not on the government's designated institution list or not having a letter of acceptance. Please don't do that. You might end up losing a lot of money and you won't be allowed to come to Canada. Next, make sure you attach sufficient proof of financial support, because if the visa officer isn't convinced that you can cover the cost of your studies and living expenses, then they'll reject your study permit. And next, visa officers also want to know that A, you won't remain in Canada illegally after your study permit expires, and that B, your primary purpose of coming to Canada is to study. So use your statement of purpose to talk about why you've chosen this study program in particular, how it will help you achieve your career goals once you return home. We've got some really good tips on writing a statement of purpose for your study permit. So we'll add the link to that article in the episode's notes too.
These are all excellent points, Clem. Another thing I want to add is that if your language test scores are low or if your previous academic track record is not great, the visa officer might not be convinced that you will understand what's being taught in class, which again can make them doubt that you're really coming here to study.
And that's true. But as long as you avoid these common mistakes, you'll have a strong chance of being approved for a study permit. So Phil, now let's talk about your student experience in Canada. I'm sure that living alone away from your family at 16 or even 18, that can't be easy. So did you choose to live on campus or off campus?
So I completed the last 2 years of high school as well as my Bachelor's of Arts in International Development Studies in Nova Scotia. During grade 11 and 12, I was a minor and I lived at a homestay with a Canadian host family. When I started university, I rented an apartment off campus with another international student, and it turned out to be cheaper for us than living on campus, but that might vary by city. I would definitely recommend that you weigh the pros and cons of living on campus versus off campus before making a decision. On-campus housing usually comes with an optional meal plan, so if you don't want to cook for yourself or buy groceries, that might be more suitable. Plus, you'll be close to your classes and on-campus amenities like restaurants, gyms, library Wi-Fi, etc. Living off-campus can have its own advantages, especially if you like having your own space like I do, but you might have to pay extra for Wi-Fi, cable, and other utilities.
I do want to add that on-campus housing options are limited. Slots typically get filled very quickly. So if you are interested in living on campus, you should contact your university or college as soon as you get accepted and make that request. And if you want to live off campus, ideally book temporary accommodation, whether it's a hostel, a hotel, an Airbnb, before you arrive. And this gives you time to look for a more permanent place to rent once you're landed in Canada.
Yes, and keep in mind that your first couple of weeks in Canada will be very busy. First off, you want to get a Canadian SIM card so that you can have a local phone and data plan. You will need to open a Canadian bank account. You will also need to register for classes, figure out your class schedule, get your student ID, and familiarize yourself with your campus. If you're living off campus, you'll probably want to spend some time figuring out public transportation and exploring your neighborhood, at least to find groceries and other stores nearby. If you're eligible for provincial health care, you'll need to apply for it as soon as you can. International students only qualify for provincial health care in some provinces, and sometimes there's a waiting period before you get covered. You should also get a social insurance number, or SIN, because you'll need to get a credit card. Even as a student, your credit history is very important in Canada, so start using your credit card as soon as you get it. If you plan to work in Canada while studying, you definitely require a SIN. Clem, do you want to talk about what type of work students can do in Canada?
Absolutely. So first things first, as an international student, you can work in Canada if your study permit includes a condition that says you can work on campus or off campus. On-campus work includes any jobs that are physically located on your university or college campus, and whether that's a teaching assistant, in the cafeteria, or at a store on campus. And on the other hand, off-campus jobs are with external employers, like if you're working part-time at a retail store or a coffee shop. For on-campus jobs, there's no hourly restrictions, and if you're working off-campus, you can usually work up to 20 hours per week. However, Until December 2023, the hourly cap for off-campus work has been temporarily removed. So you might be able to work longer hours until then. Of course, that's if your schoolwork load allows it. Film, did you work part-time during your university years?
Unfortunately, I did not. In hindsight, I wish I had. Unlike in my home country, students in Canada start working part-time when they're still in high school, as well as during their post-secondary studies, and that gives them an advantage when it's time to find a full-time job after graduation. So I would recommend that if your study permit allows it, try to get some part-time experience on your resume. The closer it is to what you're studying, the better.
That's a great recommendation. If you're like most international students, the reason you want to study in Canada is to improve your career prospects. And getting some hands-on experience during your study period is actually going to be really helpful in the long run. It's not just about gaining Canadian experience. There are several other things that you should be doing while studying to prepare for your future career, like getting your resume ready, building skills that employers in your industry are looking for, volunteering, and most importantly, networking.
Oh yes, networking is a big one. Lots of students have asked me if they really need to start networking while they're still in school. And the answer is yes. The sooner you start, the more solid connections you'll have by the time you graduate. Remember, as an international student, you will be competing for jobs against domestic students who've been working and building professional connections since they were in school. Plus, they have their parents and friends' network to tap into.
That's true, and that really works to their advantage. As an international student, you'll need to build your network from scratch in Canada, but it's not as scary as you might think. In fact, we actually have a very helpful networking guide for newcomers. You can find a link to that in the episode description. Film, now let's talk about your life in Canada after university. You originally came here on a study permit, and very recently, you became a Canadian citizen. Congrats. How has that journey been?
Thank you. It's been long. So after graduating from university, I applied for a post-graduation work permit that allowed me to stay and work in Canada. The process for getting a PGWP, as it is also called, isn't very complicated. And most international students who've completed at least an 8-month study program in Canada are eligible for one. There are some conditions, though. For instance, you must have been enrolled in a degree, diploma, or certificate program as a full-time student. Usually, the length of a post-graduation work permit you get is linked to the duration of your study program. So in my case, after my bachelor's degree, I got a 3-year PGWP. And after working for a few years, Canada started to feel like home, and I decided to apply for permanent residence. And once you have a few years of Canadian work experience, the path to PR becomes much easier. You get extra points for work experience when you apply for PR through Express Entry, not to mention the extra points you get for Canadian education. And there's also the Canadian Experience Class Immigration Program, which is only open to people with Canadian experience. That's the one I applied through. After completing the physical residency requirement as a permanent resident, I applied for citizenship, and here we are. I'm finally a Canadian citizen.
I love your story. And I'm sure the prospective international students listening in today are going to find it both informative and inspirational. If you want to know more about how international students can become permanent residents and ultimately citizens, we do have a comprehensive guide on immigrating to Canada that we've linked out to in the episode description. Thank you for listening to the Countdown to Canada podcast by Arrive. We hope the tips that we shared today will help you get your study permit and start your journey as an international student in Canada. And for other international student resources to help with your career, life, and finances in Canada, check out our website, arrivein.com, and subscribe to our podcast. And we hope to see you back for the next episode.
See you.